out there. And oh, that wasn't very loud. Let me try that again. 1, 2, 3. The truth is out there. We're going to keep the whole thing. And tonight we're going to look for the truth here on a special edition of I Want to Believe. I want to believe that I can get through this show without screwing up anymore. My name
it's
is Shannon.
An all Young. Special edition.
All special.
All of it special.
It costed me at a young age, too. my name is Shannon Young.
Barber.
I'm going to be your host tonight. With me tonight, we have, of course, the man himself, Tanner Calvert, here with us.
Yeah, he's here.
And Randy Smith.
That's on Holy Bible.
Double H.
Hey.
So we normally don't do these shows on a Saturday. Well, except Tanner, he did. So I guess there's precedent. But
you literally missed your first opportunity to go, it's Saturday, and be right.
All right, everybody, scrap the whole show. We're doing it again. No, I kid.
No, we already did that last night. That's...
Yeah, oh, okay. So let's truth time. If you tuned into last night's episode, much like Derek Boxworfer did, and sent me a message saying, was that supposed to happen? No. Here's... It's truth time. So what happened is we recorded a full episode, myself, Hunter, Tanner, Dalton, and Cody, and it was a good episode. It was a funny episode. Yes. I dare say it was probably the best episode we've ever recorded, by far.
I don't know about that, but it was up there.
Well, no one's ever going to know. That's the, you know.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my GarageBand, I'm the only one that records on GarageBand, which generally is not a problem, generally.
Well, Dalton's never had trouble with Reaper.
That's what I heard, and that helped me after it had already eaten it. GarageBand updated. All I can figure is this. GarageBand updated sometime during the day yesterday. I know that for a fact. But my computer was never restarted, and at the end of the show, when I stopped the recording, it would not allow me to save what I had. So I tried copying it, closing the program, restarting it. It just ate it. It just was not there. And so when you don't have one channel, then uploading the rest of the show would be bizarre because everyone has these long pauses where I talk and no one else talks.
Yeah.
And then it's everyone going, yeah, that's right. You know.
Yeah, pretty much. I listened to it because I thought, okay, maybe we can still salvage this. We'll just post it without Hunter's audio and we'll just say, hey, you know, technical problems. So I listened back to part of it and it literally was, I would say something and then pause. And about 40 seconds later,
made that's no the other sense. Thing too. With everything that I was posting into the Discord, you're reacting to somebody who's not there.
We, you know, it's like this show. We were reacting to a ghost, Tanner.
Yeah. Ghost. Ooh.
The hell was that?
Tanner doesn't want to believe.
Tanner don't want to host the show no more. Tanner, you there?
Tanner,
I'm here.
Okay. Tanner, me.
Fart.
No, not that I want to believe. I have none of that. I can no longer tolerate your buffoonery.
Do aliens fart?
Oh my god.
The truth is out there, and tonight we're gonna
starting over. So the reason we're doing a show on Saturday, bombshell announcement came out this week that you probably didn't hear about.
Couple of them.
So we're gonna talk about it, but before we do that, Tanner, really quick, some sad news to report.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
I wanted to get you to go, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like when you support me on these things. Actor John Saxon. Well, actually, okay, so this has nothing to do with paranormal or horror in any way, but Regis Philbin died today, too.
Yep.
Which, incredibly sad. He was 88. I believe it was heart disease. And then right before we did the show, Tanner hit me and said John Saxon passed away. So John Saxon, I believe he was 84.
Yeah.
And
he was
a fantastic actor. One of my favorite actors. The reason I mentioned him on this show, though, is because he had an iconic role, Tanner, in a little slasher movie. That's my personal favorite one.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
He played the father to Heather Langenkamp.
Yep.
And he came back in New Nightmare as himself, which
yes,
was pretty
he did.
Cool.
That's still probably my favorite Nightmare film.
I think Freddy was definitely the scariest in that one.
Mm-hmm.
The demonic Freddy.
The original or New Nightmare?
New Nightmare.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, you're right. It's one of those two, but definitely of those two, it's New Nightmare.
If I remember correctly, like, I watched New Nightmare. No, it's been a couple years, but I don't think Freddy made any jokes in that movie. That was just a straight up serious horror film, wasn't it?
Yes, it kind of went back to the original. Freddy didn't get funny until part two. For some reason, they thought they added comedy to it, which I don't hate, but...
No, I think it was part three.
No, he had some funny moments in two.
Because I think
part two was the gay one. Yeah, it's a very clear gay allegory.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the one. There's actually, oh, speaking of which, like, okay, and again, very sad that John Saxon passed away. I thought Bill Paxton for a while also passed away. Also incredibly sad. That was years ago. No, Hunter. No, not right now.
Not tonight.
I'm sorry. I lost it last night and I'm very sad about it. This could just be like the old days of like, yeah, we call it this show, but we're doing whatever we want. It's fine.
There is a documentary that is on, I see it's on YouTube. You have to pay for it, unfortunately. But I've never watched it. I'm kind of curious about it. It's called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street. Actor Mark Patton shares his story of being a closeted gay man while starring in A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, a film that he began to suspect had homoerotic subtext. So,
well,
that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, there was a whole, like, essay and like you said, a whole bunch of interviews and stuff where they just kind of broke down, here's what this movie does, and then here's what it clearly means to be. And it's not very subtle. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen 2, but when you look at it in that lens, it doesn't take very long to figure out, yeah, that's absolutely what they were trying to do for whatever reason.
2, I think, like a lot of people, 2 is probably the one I've seen the least. It's I think it's clearly the worst of the entire series. Like, it's not the worst in terms of like poor quality. It's just, I don't know, it wasn't as entertaining as the later ones, and it wasn't as scary as the first one. It's this weird middle ground of just weird nothingness. I would
almost say it's still better than the remake, though. The remake was just so bad.
I don't even include that. What I hated about that movie is that I guess they thought they were being clever about it, but they switched the heroine halfway through the movie. Like, in the original, the girl that Katie Cassidy played died in the beginning, and then it switched over to Heather Langenkamp's character. But in this movie, you follow Cassidy through over half the film, then it switches to, I forget the actress's name, but that was very jarring and not good. Jackie Earle Haley was really good as Freddy.
I was going to say, he deserved a lot better than what he got to work with, because he's a really, really good actor, but that just... Boy, that script and that film in general just did not work out.
I didn't like the way they went with his backstory. I didn't care for it.
Well, see, I was gonna say the only thing I liked about it, and then they screwed it all up, was I liked that they created a little bit of, did he do it? You know, they kind of created this, maybe he wasn't the monster that they killed him for being, and that was interesting to me because they've never done that angle of did he or didn't he? Like, did they kill him for no reason and that's why he's so vengeful?
Well,
but then you find out, yeah, no, he totally did it.
Here's the thing. So the originals, he was supposed to just be a supposedly a child murderer. They turned him into a child molester in this one. And that just, I didn't like that. Like, granted, I know things like that, you know, that's an actual thing, but I didn't
It would be a lot easier to get away with being a child molester in this day and age than a child murderer. You know what I mean? Like, it would be harder to commit many murders of children and keep that under wraps.
I think if I'm picking up on what Tanner's putting down, and I agree with this to a certain degree, is that it kind of smacks of that thing where every story now where something horrible happens, is it rape? Yeah, it's rape. Like,
yes,
it just feels like such a, you know, it's become a trope almost. And it's like, if you can't do it without that, figure something else out.
Well, the,
But I do agree that, I mean, it, like Shannon said, like, logically, it makes more sense from a modern standpoint. It's not like this is the only story that's ever done that. But at the same time, it's just, here we go with this again.
Right. Yeah, and if you want to watch a pretty good remake, I actually thought the Friday the 13th remake was pretty good.
Yes.
It was. It's a shame that we didn't get more of that, honestly.
Yeah, that was a solid movie. That was a solid movie. There was another remake they did that I think I've blocked out of my head.
Halloween?
Evil Dead?
No, he likes Evil Dead.
I did like Evil Dead. I liked the first Halloween remake. The zombie one?
Yes.
I thought it was okay.
I did too.
The second one was garbage.
It had moments.
The second one was terrible. Yeah. Ugh. Bad ones. Yeah, I was not into it. I liked the Halloween remake well enough. Although at the same time, like, at the time it was interesting just that they did it the way they did it. But then the further I got away from it, the more I was like, I really didn't need a backstory for this. It's much scarier when I didn't have a backstory.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I tell you what I do like, how they've come with the new ones and have completely retconned everything that happened after once. And it's just one happened and now this is happening. Like, there's no, like,
they had to.
They didn't really have to.
Oh my god, no. You get they into some of those kept, later they Halloween could have films. Kept
the sibling thing in there.
I think cutting it off after the first one and going from there was a smart move.
No, I agree. I like it.
The dumb move is that they're making two more sequels to it back to back.
I don't know about the second one. Now this one I could see.
Halloween Kills is
probably going to be just as good as, you know, Halloween 2019.
Not with a name like Halloween Kills. Can somebody
explain that title to me? Because that.
Yeah.
Well, like the, you, I mean, the next one's Halloween Ends or something like that.
That screams B that movie, but all that, bullshit.
All I can see from that is some dude in the theater when the movie comes up, and the second that you see Michael Myers, he leans over to the girl with him. He's like, "That's him. That's Halloween." Like that's what it reads like. Halloween, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends. Okay, he's done.
Someone's gonna be running, and there's gonna be like, "Watch out! Halloween's got a knife."
This is totally unrelated, but because we're talking about this, I have to put it out there. One of my favorite stupid things I've seen lately, and it's been around for a couple of years, but there was this headline that Liam Neeson did the story where he said that there was a horse on the set of a movie he had been on, and it was the same stunt horse they'd used on something else he'd been on. And so the headline says, Liam Neeson says stunt horse recognized him on second film set. The first comment to it was, Liam Neeson walks on set, horse. There he is. It's just the same energy, man.
Oh God. So yeah. Anyway, that's a terrible idea. Also, the Evil Dead remake was great. I thought it was really good.
I did too. I really liked that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen the original, obviously, but
I'm not surprised.
I don't. When you say the original, what have you seen? Because
I've seen all the original Evil Deads.
Okay, because I was going to say, really, if you've seen Evil Dead or Evil Dead 2, you don't necessarily need to see the other.
You kind of accomplish the same goal. I think it's more of you absolutely, if you've watched Evil Dead 2, you don't have to watch Evil Dead 1, but if you watch it Evil is Dead more 1, so. And you're going to continue the story, you got to watch Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, and then Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Oh, but go watch Ash versus Evil Dead, everybody. Just stop what you're doing and go watch it.
And stop before the last 15 minutes of the final episode.
No, that's fair.
None of that ever happens.
Mm-hmm. No, it didn't.
Makes me wish they had just retconned it and gone with the original ending from Army of Darkness.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't know why. Which they kind of did
in a way, but not really. Never mind. Let's move on.
My levels are lower than normal. I don't like it.
That's not good. Well, if you speak lowly, that's also not going to help.
Well, I wasn't trying to share that information with everybody. Some stuff I got to keep to myself. All right. So normally, you know, we talk a lot about movies on the show, you know, when it comes to the paranormal, we like to cover anything that could be scary. But today I actually have a recommendation for a really good sci-fi book that I found out about today.
Gimme.
I meant to send it to you guys. It's from goodreads.com. It's,
no,
no, I hesitate to say the name of the title. I'm like, is it funny or is it just going to piss everybody off?
This is not the show. I know we didn't get to upload a Friday show, but that isn't it.
Look, this is a sci-fi book. Did you read the plot outline?
Sci-fi is a very loose term for that.
He's gonna be loose.
Oh no, the joke is going past Tanner here because he wasn't looking in the group chat earlier today.
Oh, Tanner, it's a book I found called "Pounded in the Butt by My Own Butt."
Oh, okay.
By Chuck Tingle.
By Chuck Tingle.
Okay, let's get back to the show.
So the plot outline is Kirk is a scientific researcher on the leading edge of cloning technology.
But his team
has reached a standstill. Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay, because Kirk has finally found...
Tanner, I'm going to save it for you. Because he said he had a book recommendation, and immediately I thought, oh, I do too. I thought he was serious until he said he found it on Goodreads, and I knew instantly what he was talking about.
All right, Hunter, what did you find?
So, while he's joking to death, Sarah's really into this author, Mary Roach. She wrote... No, it's not a joke, Shannon. She is... she writes a lot of, like... She's worked in morgues and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wrote a book called Stiff a few years ago that Sarah had read at the time because that's always been something that's interested her. And this was about, like, you know, morgue science and those sorts of things. She also then wrote a book, again, not a joke, called Spook. But the subtitle is Science Tackles the Afterlife. And so she read it recently and really enjoyed it. Just a quick, the blurb on the back says, what happens when we die? Does the light just go out and that's that, the million-year nap? Or will some part of my personality persist? What will that feel like? What will I do all day? Is there a place to plug in my laptop? In an attempt to find out, Mary Rhodes brings her tireless curiosity to bear on an array of contemporary and historical soul searchers, scientists, schemers, engineers, and mediums, all trying to prove or disprove that life goes on after we die. Sarah really liked it. I have not read it yet, but she really enjoyed it. So if you're interested in something that is very much up the alley of people listening to the show, that's the one to check out.
We prefer the term up the street next to the building.
I heard it when I said it. I know.
Also, I'm going to put this in the group chat. I will not say it aloud, but I looked up more of Chuck Tingle's books. This is absolutely a book he wrote.
Oh, God.
This is absolutely a real book.
It can't possibly get any worse.
Donald Trump. I'm not reading anything else.
Oh, then I'll read it to you.
No. Stop it, Shannon.
No. That's not okay. A book. There's
that
no
is a book. That is a legitimate book. This dude has written so many books.
I think we need to make a strong distinction between this is a book that has been published in physical form and you can buy it on a bookshelf versus I wrote a thing, I put it on the internet, and I mocked up a cover for it, and you can pick it up for your Kindle for 25 cents.
But apparently the dude that wrote it won, has won the Hugo Award.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least nominated.
I just bet. I just bet he has.
Well, Hunter, I want to believe, so let's get into it. Let's just...
Two-time Hugo Award finalist. I'll be looking that up while you get into it.
Let's just jump into it. Tanner, you had some new business you wanted to mention first.
I'm sorry. I don't know where to start after all that now.
I know, buddy.
Let's go with... None of us do.
Before we get to the explosive news that came out this week, you're going to want to hear it because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. No one's going to talk about it in the lamestream media. And you're going to want to talk. You're going to want to know this because this could be a turning point in American history. And I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. We're going to get to that a little bit later, Tanner.
Okay, good. Thank you. I was about to say, we're not going to like blow our whole load in the first shot, are we here?
Okay, he can say that, but I can't read these titles.
Yes.
No, he can't. I'm shutting it down.
Damn it.
Go
man.
Ahead, Tanner.
You've heard, well, you all have heard me talk about, and our listeners have heard us talk about, the organization MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. They're a nationwide thing. We're actually pretty close with some of the members and leaders of the Missouri chapter. Last week, they actually had a pretty big news story break about the president of the national chapter of MUFON, where he's actually been accused, and I believe... And obviously not convicted yet, but there's enough evidence to go against him where he's basically out of MUFON now, but he's part of a child pornography ring.
Oh no.
So I had that story pulled up and I guess I closed it out on accident. Did I put in a group chat?
You did, because I saw you posted it and I was wondering what was going on and I didn't get a chance to look at it yet.
Okay, I'm trying to get back to it here. I posted too much.
I can send it to you, I believe. Did you find it?
Yep.
Okay.
This comes from UFO Watchdog Blogspot. This is updated as of the 15th. The MUFON Board of Directors has removed Harzen, which is, let me find his full name, Jan Harzen is his name, from his position permanently and stated Harzen will no longer serve in any role in the organization. On July 3rd, police in Huntington Beach, California, arrested Jan Harzen of MUFON, of the Mutual UFO Network, in an online law enforcement sting operation targeting persons involved in crimes against children. A Facebook post announcing the arrest was made by police earlier that day. Police allege Harzen solicited sex online from what he believed was a 13-year-old female and arranged to meet the female and to engage in sex. However, the 13-year-old female was actually a detective from the department's Special Enforcement Bureau. The 65-year-old Harzen was taken into custody by detectives from the special unit and charged with communicating with a minor to engage in lewd act and arranging a meeting to engage in a lewd act with a minor in public, both felony crimes. So apparently it wasn't just child pornography. He was also soliciting minors for sex.
Well, that definitely doesn't go good to help the cause.
No, it does not. And I know a lot of local people who have been involved with MUFON who... basically said if they didn't hurry up and make some kind of decision to get him out, even though it was just accusations, at that time that they were cutting ties with the organization. One being a friend of the show, Michael Huntington. He has been pretty adamant about this, and I've been following along because he's pretty close with some of the heads of the Missouri chapter, so he's right there in the inner circle learning what all is going on. So it's been pretty interesting. And I love how this happens right as our big breaking story happens.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate. I don't think the two are related, though.
Obviously, I don't think, obviously like, not. It's just an unfortunate timeline.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think it's like a conspiracy. You know what I mean? Like this isn't some conspiracy to because they don't have to do it because no one's going to pay attention to it anyway. That's the problem. So, before we jump into that, you had something with Scott Walter.
Yeah, which he's supposed to come back on the show talk to me about it. We talked. He did. We actually talked in like July 3rd, July 2nd, something like that. And he was actually on Coast to Coast AM on 4th of July that night. He had gotten called to some stones that were found in Texas, and he posted one of the stones on Twitter, and I reached out to him, and we were talking about it, and I posted the pictures to the chat, so you guys could see it, and a link to the website, to the Coast to Coast website that shows everything else and all the information. But short of the story, too long don't read, or too long don't listen, the script is written in Paleo Hebrew, like that. The letters you could say are Paleo Hebrew, but the language, like if you take the letters and write them out into the English language, are actually what was it? I'm trying to look back up to it now. It's another language. It's not actually Paleo Hebrew. It's Portuguese. So take those letters on those tablets that you're seeing there, translate them to an English letters, and it's actually Portuguese. So it's kind of weird, but it details.
And they were found. It was found where?
In Texas, in the middle of Texas. And he's done his carbon dating and everything, and his relative aging studies, and everything is legit. Like these are all. This is nothing that's been created or been chiseled out in the last 500 years. I think these stones were actually the carvings on these stones were actually dated to about.
We're a prosecutor.
Let me see, 50 years after, so a certain amount of years after Columbus, and some of the stones actually mention Hebrew tribes. Being brought to that area through the Gulf of Mexico to escape persecution from in that time period, which would have been like the Spanish Inquisition.
So I didn't suspect them.
Not the first one that you sent. The first one that he's holding up in that image there is pretty straightforward. It looks like a face of some sort. But the second one has my attention more. So alongside the writing, which is more on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side of the image, there's pretty clearly some sort of an angelic figure, like it's a figure with some sort of robe and wings behind it, standing on a skull. Do they have any kind of explanation for what that's supposed? Does it tie into the text there, or?
I'm not entirely sure. I've got the show downloaded, and I've listened to like the first hour of it, and he hasn't gotten into it. And it may be one of those things where he's trying to finish up the study, because I know. At the exact same time he was trying to do this research in Texas, he was flying back and forth from Texas to the East Coast because he was actually filming another TV show, which he's going to be giving information on. But this is the most information he gave was the fact that the language written on the stone was written in Paleo Hebrew, but it was actually spoken in Portuguese.
That image is clear cut. I mean, there's no mistaking what that is. It's not, it's plain as day there.
Yeah, and actually, the funny thing about that is, you look at that and you go look up what they call the Back Creek Stone, and it's just ridiculous how similar it is. It's I love it so much. But basically, he said the information he's gathering is, we joke about Christopher Columbus being a douchebag and you know the reason why Native Americans died, but apparently
I don't joke about it. I'm quite serious about that.
I am pretty. I am too. So basically, what the
didn't
stones,
he discover America?
Oh, you son of a. Anyway, basically, the story these stones he feels like they're telling is maybe one of the reasons Christopher Columbus was coming over was he was trying to help Jews escape persecution in Europe at that time. Again, Spanish Inquisition was happening. You had everything happening in the Middle East with the Jewish race. And like there's they've along with these studies on these stones, there's been evidence brought forward in, you know, the last 10-20 years that Columbus himself may have been a crypto Jew, which basically means they were Jewish, appeared to convert to Christianity or Catholicism, but in secret practiced Judaism. And they believe he may have been one of these crypto Jews, which
Tanner, I screenshotted that that Bat Creek stone and put it in the Discord there. What were you saying about it in particular? I mean, other than it's also a really clear engraving, but there's no image there. It's all just text.
Apparently. It's all text. And see, this is an even older language. This is an even older version of crypto Hebrew. It is. As far as I know, as of right now, it still hasn't been translated because they have no way to translate it. It's so old. That stone was found in East Tennessee in a Cherokee burial mound in the 1800s. Shannon, you remember we talked about this on the show with them, the first one we did with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Smithsonian had sent these archaeologists down to do these studies on the Cherokee nations. Because at the time they didn't even know how to speak the Cherokee language, and they hadn't even seen it written, so they had no idea how the written language looked. So they're trying to learn more about these nations. So they're doing archaeological studies on these burial mounds and these different areas where the tribes were known to have been. And in one of the burial mounds in East Tennessee, in an area they call Back Creek, they find this stone and they think, well, this is great. This is the first example of written Cherokee we have. So they take it back to the Smithsonian for study. They intend to study it. They stuff it away in a box and it gets lost in the basement. Flash forward so many years and someone's going through things down there and they happen to find this stone and they take it to somebody who could possibly read it. They look at it and said, no, this isn't Cherokee. This is Paleo Hebrew. This is written in a Hebrew language. And so the Smithsonian said, well, that's obviously not true, and basically we're trying to chunk it out. They kept it, obviously, because they don't want the truth out. There's your conspiracy theory for the day. So,
it really does, like, not to get too meta on this, but it really does blow my mind the concept that if we ever got too far away from enough people who could speak any given language, when I say too far away, I mean within a couple of years, you lose the fact that if anyone comes across that, they don't immediately know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, whoever wrote this, to some degree, maybe assumed that, well, anybody in the future will come across this and look at this and know exactly what it is. And we look at it and have to spend hours upon, you know, so much time just trying to figure out how to translate it based on other things that are written that same way.
Mm-hmm. So basically what it came down to is no one had done any kind of relative age dating on it. And someone like Scott came along, and I believe it was Scott actually, who wanted to view the stone, but the Smithsonian was like, it's a fake. We're not worried about it. We're not letting anybody look at it. So Scott actually goes to the Cherokee Nation, and these people are out of Cherokee, North Carolina. And talks to him and says, look, I want to view the stone, but they won't let me. And they're like, well, if you want to see it, we'll get it for you. We'll just call them, tell them we need it. He's like, well, what happens if they tell you, no, you can't have it? Then we will call back every Cherokee artifact they have in their property, you know, in their possession at the museums and anywhere else. They will not have access to anything ever again. I'm like, oh, okay. So they asked for it. I don't know how much, you know, fight they had to do, but they got the stone and it sits in a museum in Cherokee, North Carolina right now. I got to see it last November in person. It was a powerful moment just being in the room with it. But it supports a theory that there were Hebrews here before any other Europeans. And maybe that the Hebrew people knew about this nation well before anybody else did. And now you have these new tablets coming up in Texas that also has quite similar, more modern Hebrew writing that's actually able to be translated, you know, kind of proves that.
Let me speculate with you then. If that, let's say that becomes the case, that becomes true, that's the working theory. There's enough behind it that becomes the case. What does that do to American history?
It turns it on its head. I mean, look at it like this. When you go to a history class at a high school right now and they tell you they go into the lesson plans of who discovered America, they're still teaching Columbus, even though that's factually untrue. It's factually known that there were Europeans here in the year 1000 with the Vikings. Yet the schools are still teaching that Columbus was the founder.
I can tell you for a fact that not all of them are teaching it at the high school level. At the very least, they present that story and then explain, but the Vikings were there, etc.
Yeah.
But still, like you said, I mean, that's still something that's continually brought up. If this becomes the case, what does that do to that story? What do they then have to include?
Well, and that's the question I've asked Scott, because I don't know. Like, I've always been curious, like, why would a government or an academic field go through so much to cover up something that, wow, is, you know, insane to think about? Wow, is history changing that these people were here before anybody else? It doesn't do anything different. And I can see at a certain point in time, maybe it was an issue, like the Kensington Runestone, like what Scott talks about ad nauseum. That was a land claim. So that land claim would have covered most of the eastern seaboards, most of central United States and closer, you know, more towards the Ohio.
Right.
Because the way land claims worked, if you claimed a piece of land at a headwater, you would claim all the land that headwater flowed into and all its tributaries. And where they were at, they would have claimed everything adjacent to the Mississippi and Ohio River. So that brings in an issue that people from Norway and Gotland were here beforehand and had claimed this land, and then someone came in and took it out from underneath them, which is theft, which people who say they claimed America anyway committed theft anyway, taking it from Native Americans. So I don't see why the hell it matters. So,
but it's the principle of the issue. It's the fact that this is there and we're not talking about it. And like you said, the question then becomes why?
Yeah.
What is so? It's very conspiratorial. Like that's really kind of got my brain tingling, because again, like you said, it could be far more cut and dry if it was, oh, this completely disrupts, you know, if this came out, then we would just have to pack up and leave. That's not going to be the case, obviously.
Well, you got to go through and change all the history books.
Right. Maybe it's Halt Mifflin that's got the got the conspiracy out for him.
That's the biggest. It's an inconvenience is what it is. They got to go through and change all the history of everything. And here's the thing. Unless there's just something I'm missing, because to me that's the biggest issue, is the inconvenience, because they have to change everything. But anytime someone comes forth with a theory on something, they immediately attack them. They go for the jugular, man. They discredit them at every turn, every chance they get. Scott Walter is a forensic geologist. He's gone to school for this. He's trusted enough that when the Pentagon was attacked at 9/11, he was called in to do the research on the damage of the stone from the building. Okay? So, while he's doing all this, he's still doing his research on the Kensington Runestone, which started in 2000. The only thing he's doing with the stone is a relative age dating. That's literally all he's doing. He's checking the carvings, dating them to see how old the carvings themselves were. He had to use a technique where he checked a headstone in a place that has a relative climate, and the headstone had to be from the same time that the stone was found. He found that the carvings were no younger than 200 years from the moment it was pulled out of the ground. So the stone, like the day he pulled the stone out of the ground in the 1800s, the carvings were at least 200 years old right there. So that's, and when he goes to a conference to talk about it, he presents these findings. That's all he says. He says the carvings are at least 200 years older than the date he pulled it out of the ground, which means he couldn't have carved it. He couldn't have faked it.
Yeah.
And immediately they go to attack him. You're lying. I mean, this could, is a fake stone.
It could be, too, that... I mean, if you want to go with Occam's razor, simplest solution is most likely. Like you said about it, things being an inconvenience, it's probably, or it could be anyway, just as likely that it's just... You know, why do people do this? Well, because nobody likes to have their viewpoint challenged. Well, let me rephrase that. Lots of people don't like to have their viewpoint challenged. People like us obviously want to know, hey, there's new information, what's going on? But there are so many people who, I mean, Exhibit A, the flat earth community, nobody in that group wants to be told this is not the case. Here's all the evidence. Well, it's not what I believe, therefore I don't care, you know. Going back to the Columbus story the discussion of Columbus anyway. Anytime, even still, that you mentioned that in a lot of communities, oh, it wasn't Columbus. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. Well, of course you don't want to hear about it. It challenges your worldview.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that there's people in the academic world who are teaching with a closed mind. You know, think history is as it is. Nothing can change history. And history, and
that's history, that's science. It's unfortunate that is basically everything but math, and even math you have some teachers who will pull down the card of, you know, well, you didn't do it the way that I taught you to do it, and that way doesn't work. But yeah, history, science, English, everything, if you don't have the ability to open up to the possibility of other things, it's, what's the point? I mean
it's unfortunate, you know. You got people like Scott, people like us who are, you know, well, who are trying to get this information out there. You know, I'm telling you, there's more people now, like in our generation, who are opening up to this idea. I mean, look at the just outrage over Columbus and what's going on now. You have people who are, you know, in our generation who are fighting for this truth to be known. So it's, you know, hopefully one day it'll become something that somebody else wants to look into. Right now, it's most people just call it BS and move on.
Yeah. Shannon, is there I got to get Shannon back in here. I'm not hosting, but I feel like I am.
No, I'm here.
Shannon, is there a moment in not necessarily American history, but I think of American history when I think of it, that if something came out that wasn't how it went down, that it would just completely change your worldview on something?
Mine personally, or just like, yeah. Not particularly. I think the last one that changed my worldview on anything was, and it wasn't exactly a worldview, because I always thought that the American government was crooked in one way or the other, and that, you know, we've lied throughout history when you talk about Agent Orange and all the experiments that they've done on our own troops. But it was when I found out about Unit 731 in Japan that I really realized that the United States government is no better than any other government, that everyone's just, you know, scuzzy and sleazy. So maybe that shattered my view of our principles as a nation, which shouldn't surprise me considering our nation was built on, like Tanner said, stealing the land from the Indians, slavery, et cetera, et cetera. But that's the only one that I can think of. I think the one that always... If you could prove that it didn't happen the way they said it happened, and it's even something that isn't proven, but if you could prove either the non-existence of Jesus Christ, or if you could prove that he wasn't what, you know, the history books and the Bible and everything, you know, all that says that he is, that would shatter so many worldviews, and that would possibly crumble almost society as you know it. Which is why if they ever did prove it, I'm sure that would never, ever come out.
Well, here's the
thing.
What
I was going to say. That's the one that would really, like, you're right, that's probably the most powerful one, but at the same time, it would never happen. Because even if you had 100% definitive proof and somebody got it out, they got it, you know, above ground and put it out to the world, here it is, it would be disputed like crazy. It would be, that's fake, that's not true, there's no way for you to know that, I'll never believe that. No matter what you say, there would be a large sect of people who would say, nope, there's no way.
Well, here's the thing, too. While we have the U.S. government and academic fields throughout the country trying to shut this down, you have somebody that's... you have a group of people, an organization that's even more powerful than the U.S. government who would try to control that, and that's the Vatican.
Like, oh, I thought you were going to say the Bilderberg group.
No.
George Soros?
Well, I think, you know, even
Tanner,
if
please,
come out,
no. Come back.
If that did come out, you know, that Jesus was absolutely not real, even if it did come out and they let it come out, it would get buried under 50 different articles about Donald Trump because Donald Trump is bigger than Jesus.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like,
in the media, yes, at this point.
And I here's the thing about this conversation, though, and I got to go back and find more details on it, but I don't think so much that the idea of a person named Jesus in that time period wasn't real. Like, they found...
Yeah, I think they've proven that Jesus Christ was a real person.
Like,
yeah, I don't think anybody's really disputing that at this point.
It's whether or not...
But was he the Son of God?
Yeah, it's his divinity that they question.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and even Scott, like, in the last conversation I had with him, he said, while he's a Mason, and to be a Mason, you have to believe in a higher power. He says, 100% there's evidence that a man named Yeshua ben Yosef existed. The idea of his divinity is up for question. And that's, yeah. that's the issue.
There was a film that I remember hearing about years ago. I mean, I was probably a teenager, and it was like a sci-fi movie where they invented a time machine and they went back in time and found absolute proof that Jesus Christ was not real. And when they went back to their time, so distraught over the fact that there is no God and there is no afterlife, they became monsters. And they just started killing and raping and do whatever they wanted because there was no judgment. It was, you know, and that movie, it was so controversial that they never made it. That the very idea was killed because they said, you can't make a movie like that.
Yeah.
Was it ever actually fully scripted? Like, did it fall on that blacklist of scripts? Or
I think it was just an idea. Like, good luck even finding the name of the movie now. And there are times that I've thought, maybe I made this movie up.
Like, you've talked about it before. You talked about it on the show before.
What happened is you went forward in time and found yourself writing that movie. And so you came back and that little memory has been stuck with you ever since.
And it was like, don't write that movie. Don't say that movie. It's not a good idea.
I'll say that word.
Tanner, I the reason I went so quiet for so long is because I don't know what you're talking about. but at the same time, I found it interesting and fascinating, and I didn't want to interrupt you with my, like, nonsense like I normally do. So I just wanted to let you go and go and go, and you did a good job with it. And I think that was a very interesting discussion. So I enjoyed just sitting back and listening and sipping my tea, but I'm still here. I have tea.
Well, that's good.
But... You mentioned it getting buried, and I said it would get buried under a bunch of stuff. And you know why I know that would get buried? Because you were talking about something that happened in the past, correct? That is up for debate.
Yes.
You were talking about something that's already happened, and it's getting buried.
That is correct.
Let's shift to talking about something that's happening now, which the ramifications of it are so huge that it could literally change, alter the course of history going forward. And yet, no one is talking about it, short of a couple papers posting it, and I cannot believe it. I want to believe. This time, I can't believe it. 2 years ago, I believe it was. We didn't break the story, obviously. We were all playing catch-up when this happened. But they had this bombshell story about an organization, which, by the way, this information was found out by Tom DeLonge from Blink-182, who heads up the To the Stars Academy. Fascinating story. I actually saw someone, when I was showing them this story, they came across the part that said Tom DeLonge, Blink-182 singer, and they read it 3 or 4 times. They looked at me, and I'm like, yes, it's true. The lead singer of Blink-182 is the one behind this. Mm, one of the lead singers of Blink-182.
I was going to let you go.
It's okay. It's the best one. And no. Sorry, not this show. This isn't the show.
Not the show.
But they were talking about a program that was funded by the United States government to look into aerial phenomenon and how it had apparently ended a couple years ago. But from that, and thanks to the Stars Academy and Tom DeLonge, all of this stuff came out. These videos, these declassified videos of U.S. pilots coming across these strange objects in the air that they couldn't explain. Huge news. And I said it 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years. I said, this is the point where everything changes. Everything beyond this is going to be different because now the United States government is admitting we have these things. We don't know what they are. There's video of it. This is terrifying. This is going to be everywhere. And would you believe it got buried within hours and no one talked about it? It was dead in the water.
how this is dead in the water, so we can instead talk about Trump again for the 9,000th time. And look, I know we're guilty of it too. We talk about Trump all the time and all the stupid things he does. But this is the kind of story that should be headlines everywhere. In any other president in America, if this had come out, this would be a headline. But it got buried. It was dead for 2 years. No one talked about it. No one cared. And then this week, we got another one. This one's even bigger. And I hesitate to say this is the point in time where everything changes again. I'm not going to say it. We'll see what happens.
So before you dig fully into it, I was not on that show and didn't get a chance to really talk about that. Let's talk about why that stuff gets buried the way that it does. Let's talk about why this stuff was released when it was. It's no, you want to talk conspiracy theories and wanting to believe. It's no surprise. You've answered your own question. Why wouldn't they release those things right now? Of course they would, because the world is in such a state that you can do that
attention
and absolutely let it fall away. And that's not, I mean, you're not going to hear me say this very often, but I don't entirely believe that to be the fault of the president. I think that is certainly on his shoulders to
agree. Oh, no.
But
please,
the
please
fury
don't.
And
yeah,
storm
don't.
That has built around it between, and here's something else, you're not going to hear me say, or something else you're not going to hear me say all that often. As much as I don't like people just wantonly condemning the media, this is a media issue. This is the way we handle, not just the way that we handle producing and creating media now, but the way that we consume it too. This is the perfect point in history. If this had happened all the way back in the 1950s, they would have waited until now, because somebody somewhere would have said, put that under lock and key until such a time that we can release that information and no one will care.
And please misunderstand me. I don't put this blame on Donald Trump. I put a lot of blame on Donald Trump. This is absolutely nothing of his doing. This is the media. This is the media that you crave ratings and buy rates and advertising more than you crave truth and stories.
To be fair, because of that, it's the fault of both. It's a dual fault. Because you needed one to create the other.
It's also the fault of the American citizen, because the American citizen is the one eating up every program that talks about Donald Trump. They're the ones that, you know, go to Fox News. They're the ones that go to CNN's website, that crash the websites when they talk about Trump and what he's done now. The American people consume this information because that's what they want to watch. That is entertainment to them. This is not entertainment. This is scary.
Yeah,
and no, they don't want to be scared. They want to point and laugh and argue. They don't want to talk about something that could actually alter the course of history.
I don't want to speculate too hard about this, but since you were talking about American media and you know that sort of thing, I really wonder too. Immediately, okay, this information is coming from the American government. But on the world stage, they don't consume that same type of media. I mean, sure, there are stories about the president and what he's doing, etc. But you would think, okay, maybe this would slip past their barrier of that and be more interesting. And I wonder, like I said, I don't want to speculate too much, but is it the case that because we've been made to look so foolish on the world stage, anything that comes from our government is, yeah, okay, that's nice. That's nice of you to suggest these things. Sure, you found some UFOs. Good for you.
Well, especially
like have they discredited that any information that comes from us so hard that this is enough to just shoot it in the foot and make it unnecessary?
I don't know. I think it's also a matter of how we as people react to news like this, because for every person like me, you, and Tanner who find it interesting and go, what could this be? You have more people who just laugh it off and say, whatever. Either they don't care or that's it. They just don't care. And they've been conditioned by movies and TV that little green men, flying saucers and stuff like that are all science fiction. They're fake. The people that report these things are, backwoods idiots who get anally probed in a field somewhere in Kentucky.
And this is why I say that modern media is not entirely the problem either, because, yes, the 24/7 news cycle is a big issue. Yes, the fact that we now are, well, not we, but far too many people treat any random blog on the internet with the same credibility as the New York Times or the Washington Post or whatever is problematic. But just like you were just saying, there's also, for many, many years now, it was the case that when you walked into the checkout lane at the supermarket, what was there beside you? Weekly World News.
Right.
And every other stupid, every other dumb rag publication that was there to post some stupid story to get your attention. So that when you saw something that was similar to that, you went, oh, okay, that's funny. That's nice for you to do that. If Men in Black ever did anything, okay, it did a lot of good things. But one thing that they really did well was that bit that they were the actual news. The things that were happening there were the real stories to look into. I always loved that little, not a twist, but you know what I mean.
But, you know, the biggest thing for me from this, and I'm about to read the article so you guys know what the hell we're talking about.
I got two things I want to say before you get into it.
Okay, but let me just get this out before I forget it. What's different about now versus then? You talk about the 50s, the 60s, whatever. Any time period you go to, the difference between now and then is that when we talked about the government and the UFOs, we talked about government and aliens and conspiracies and all that, there was always a hard line no from the government. These things do not exist. This is not real. We do not give any credence to this. You can go back to specific moments in time where the United States government did look into it. You know, Project Blue Book, all these different organizations that have looked into it and have always come up with the same thing of, yes, there are some things that we don't understand, but, you know, we're not going to say what it is. Now you have the United States government, who has for years, as long as you can remember, has said these things don't exist, now saying, yes, these things absolutely do exist. And not only do they exist as something in our airspace, which is what we covered before, but now they're saying that not only is it in our airspace, but they are not of this earth. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a second before Tanner. Want to get to yours real quick.
Well, just 2 points I want to bring up. The timing of the release of stuff like this, that's not an accident. I mean, so we're going to sit here. We're going to do this episode. We're going to talk about this.
The episode's done. We got 10 minutes.
Hell, we on the network. We can go longer.
We talked about those damn stones for an hour.
It was a good, it was a good conversation. Anyway, so it was. We're going to sit here. We're going to report on this, and people are going to listen to it and think, really, why are you guys talking about this? We've got a much important stuff going on in the world right now. The election, Corona, stuff like that. The timing is not on accident. They're doing this. It's going to get buried by that stuff, and it's just going to happen no matter how much we talk about it. And the other thing, someone was talking about cover-ups and the image that you get of somebody who's talking about seeing aliens, you know, the backwoods Kentucky people. If you look at an event like the Berkshire UFO events, like, which was covered on this new season of Unsolved Mysteries, which was a great episode. But these people are, like, if you look at these people, these do not look like the normal stereotypical people who have seen aliens, who have claimed to be abducted, who, you know, things like this. I feel like the media kind of goes out of the way to get those people that embarrass and hurts the movement.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's not limited to the paranormal either. I mean, for many, many years, and still to some degree, every time that some, catastrophic event hits any small town, the tornado whips through, who do they get? They get the yokel from the trailer park, the stereotype that they can get to come on. I've seen it coming a mile. It's always some, you know, terrible, horrible, stereotypical type person. They don't get the actual rational person who will give you something that's worth listening to, because they're going to give you the actual story. Now here's a little entertainment to go along with it.
Right, because they want ratings. They push stupidity, because that's what we as Americans gobble up. We gobble up celebrities. We gobble up drama.
Squalor.
Kids love squalor.
And you know, I mean, you could go into the psychology of that for days on end, but generally it boils down to, we want to believe that we're the smartest person in the room at all times.
And we are not, generally.
We are. But
well, it depends on what room. If Jesse Kimball's in that room, I'm not going to walk into it. Because I know he's got me beat. That's not a joke. He's probably listening.
We brought Jesse into the group, so he's one of us.
Right, so he doesn't make us feel dumb. That's why I go into the rooms with Dalton, because then I feel better about myself. Let's read this.
That's why y'all keep me around.
Bossy Buck, no.
No.
All right, so I'm going to read straight from popularmechanics.com. I also saw this story on, of course, Coast to Coast. I saw it on Huffington Post.
Most importantly, the New York Times.
Well, the failing New York Times. Terrible.
Also, can we just double back? Popular Mechanics?
It was the best description of it. I actually looked through a couple of them. This one to me gives the best info in the best way. It's all the same info.
Has that
from
website
all the different
sites. Kind of become base? Is it like Forbes now? Like just everybody contributes and they don't necessarily know what they used to.
I have no idea. I don't know the history of Popular Mechanics. This is probably the first time I've ever been here.
I'm just wondering. I have a question. But, I want to believe, Shannon.
This is from Popular Mechanics, which apparently is a discredited site, I've just been told. It's like this and The Onion together. I'm just going to read straight from this. So like I said, I feel like this gives the best synopsis of the information. For years, the U.S. government has repeatedly changed its tune regarding its official involvement with UFO research. As recently as February, a Pentagon spokesperson told Popular Mechanics, see, they're at least talking to them, that while the government program did investigate unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, and other unexplained aerial phenomena for some time last decade, funding dried up in 2012. But when Popular Mechanics thoroughly investigated the covert program, and you know they check and recheck the facts, multiple sources said it's still ongoing to this day. Now, a new report in the New York Times confirms those accounts. The government's UFO unit currently resides in the Office of Naval Intelligence, where it deals with classified materials per the report, even though the unit itself isn't classified. The Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force is meant to, quote, standardize collection and reporting on sightings of UAVs and publicly divulge at least some of its findings twice a year, according to the Times. In a June Senate committee report, the Senate authorized appropriations for fiscal year 2021 for the task force, supporting its efforts to reveal any links that unidentified aerial phenomena, quote, have to adversarial foreign governments and the threat they pose to U.S. military assets and installations. I won't read the entire report, but this is what we were talking about before. When I said, even if you don't believe in aliens, even if you don't believe in UFOs, if you aren't worried about unidentified aerial vehicles in our airspace coming in contact with our pilots, and they don't know what it is, and the government doesn't know what it is, and they're using technology that we don't have, and you're not worried about that, then there's something wrong with you.
We're at least curious. We should at least want to know what that is. By the way, I just want to quickly clarify. The thing was that this reminds me of when Teen Vogue started doing all those stories on like voter fraud and stuff. I'm glad they're doing it. It's just not their normal territory. The Popular Mechanics is typically an auto trading magazine and such. So is it really? Yeah, that's what it is. Popular Mechanics is all about car stuff.
Well, and that's why I'm not familiar with Popular Mechanics.
Well, that's why I was like, Popular Mechanics, really, it's not that it's discredited, it's just strange that this is what they're covering. But I guess, as Egon once said, print is dead, so, you know.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with, because there has been a description of the machinery of
yeah.
the...
Oh, okay.
They're talking about the vehicles
that
themselves.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
Continuing on, Senator Marco Rubio, who chairs the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, told a CBS affiliate in Florida that he's most interested to learn from the task force who's responsible for unidentified aircraft spotted over American military bases. Rubio said he hopes that the, quote, Chinese or Russians or some other adversary hasn't made some sort of technological leap that allows them to conduct this sort of activity. He said, that to me is a national security risk and one we should be looking into. And he's absolutely right. There's not many times I will agree with Marco Rubio, but he's absolutely right on this. While such UAVs may very well come from foreign adversaries, the other possibility, of course, is that we can't pinpoint their origins from anywhere on this planet. And that's where the New York Times report gets really interesting. Harry Reid, the former Nevada senator who was instrumental in funding the original UFO program, told the New York Times that he believes that, quote, crashes from other worlds had occurred and that retrieved materials had been studied secretly for decades, often by aerospace companies under government contracts. He tells the article, after looking into this, I came to the conclusion that there were reports, some were substantive, some were not so substantive, that there were actual materials that the government and the private sector had in their possession. The astrophysicist Eric Davis, who consulted with the Pentagon's original UFO program, told the New York Times that after he examined certain materials, he came to the conclusion that, quote, we couldn't make them ourselves. In fact, Davis briefed a Department of Defense agency as recently as March of this year about retrieving materials that were, quote, off-world vehicles not made on this Earth. That is where we are. They are now saying that we are retrieving materials from vehicles that were not made of this Earth, and it can't be spelled out any clearer that something is going on. So where is this going to go from here? Nowhere. This will probably be the last time you hear about it, unless aliens actually come down here, and unless they appear on Fox News with President Trump, you probably still won't hear about it.
I mean, I'm a little more hopeful than that, if only because this is more than what we got, like you said, when this first, I don't think it was 2 years ago, I think it was last year for the record, But when you first brought this, you know, story up, when we first started hearing these things, we didn't even get that much. We just got a little bit here and there. Yeah, it may take a really long time, but it's been taking a really long time. And I mean, how long have the theories about Roswell and Area 51 been around? Maybe this is just that, you know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Maybe this is just that little inch closer to that point.
Well, this is you know, if you mentioned Roswell, I spoke to, you know, the other day we were talking about the Blogzilla 1985, God rest its soul, and how, it's, you know, we came up on the anniversary.
It's just sleeping. Of
the anniversary of my interview with you, when you and I kind of reconnected when we did that interview. One of the people I'd interviewed for that site as well was Stanton Friedman, what brilliant man, ufologist, and he was the civilian investigator for the original Roswell incident. And we talked about it, you know, some of it on the show or some of it on the website, some of it just through email. And this is the government that literally announced that time period that they had recovered a flying saucer, and then immediately retconned it and said, no, weather balloon, even though they had already said flying saucer. So for now, for the government to say this, not just say it, but to declassify so many of these things, you've got files, videos, testimony, and now you have senators backing it up. You've got, you know, people giving speeches and reports to the Department of Defense saying this is not of this earth. Like, it can't be spelled out anymore. And what saddens me is that there are so many people who are probably even listening to this show that once you're done listening to this show, you will not think about it. You will go watch PewDiePie or something. I don't know what kids do nowadays.
Oh, I hope not.
I assume we share the same audience. But you're probably not going to think about it anymore beyond this. And that's sad because this is dangerous. Even if it's not, let's say it is of this earth. We're still talking about another foreign adversary who, especially in this climate now with things being so tense, who has technology that is more advanced than ours. For as much as we spend on our military and our technological leaps when it comes to weapons and vehicles and planes and stuff like that, you have an adversarial government who is better than us, who has technology that surpasses us. Or the other side of that is you have actual alien beings, or at the very least, human beings who have access to alien technology that are now on this earth, and the government is saying, yes, that is what it is. And the fact that this isn't the top news on every website, I guess I get it. You know, everything we said earlier is absolutely true. And this is just a report. This is just someone saying that's what he believes. I don't think there's any definitive proof yet that they can point to and go, okay, this is what we have already recovered. It's been tested, et cetera, et cetera. But this in itself, to me, is gigantic.
If I can offer the possibility of how this might be good news, in the sense that it's not getting, you know, the attention of every single person, and that it's not the top headline on every website, double back to what you said about Roswell. We've recovered something, and then minutes later, no, we didn't do that. They covered it up immediately, right?
Yeah.
If this gets out and makes huge headlines, because that did too, if this becomes a huge deal, what's to stop that from happening again? So it might be better that, for lack of a better term, I'm not trying to create a pun situation here, but that it's kind of flying under the radar, that might be better for us in general, just because we may get more out of it before somebody inevitably quashes the whole thing. The other thing, too, is look at the people who were in charge. You know, and the question is, at what level are we concerned about that? You know, when it came to incidents like Area 51 and Roswell, was it all the way to the top? Was it someone at a lower level that said, no, kill this, put it down? And if we can pinpoint that, and that translates to a modern day situation of who's in charge at what level such that they won't kill it, you know, who do we need to be looking at? Who do we need to be paying attention to?
I truly believe that, especially with the Roswell thing and with UFOs in general, there's this joke that, you know, aliens don't exist because if President Trump was briefed on it, there's no way he wouldn't have spilled the beans.
Right.
But what I think of that is that there's a very good chance that they have not told President Trump or any president about what they found.
How far does it go up?
Like, so, okay, so
because I think a major reason for that is plausible deniability.
Okay, so
if the president doesn't know, then he can't be held responsible if something happens. You know, there's a good chance the president's not going to make the call in a situation like this. So why even tell him?
Okay, so here's the thing. In the past, previous incidents that have happened, presidents have had firsthand knowledge of the incident. For example, 1941, the Cape Girardeau crash, which we've talked about on the show. One of the soldiers who was here from the Air Force that was stationed in Sykeston was Kennedy. Like John F. Kennedy had firsthand knowledge of the Cape Girardeau crash and actually talked about it with people before. Kind of hush-hush, you know, don't go public with this. But yeah, you know, we retrieved these artifacts from this area in southeast Missouri, metals unknown to this earth.
Yeah, but can I make a counterpoint to that?
Okay.
You were talking about a different era. We are living in the era of cell phones, of hacking, of Twitter, where if you had told John F. Kennedy something, short of him announcing it or recording it, there would have been very little chance that it would have gotten out. But we're talking about a world now where if you told President Trump something like this, you don't think there's some way that that would leak to a billion places, whether it's him on Twitter doing himself, Hillary's emails probably had some information in there about it, or he just, you know, someone hacks into some of his account. I mean, they hacked into celebrity accounts and posted all their naked pictures. You don't think they couldn't hack into a president's personal cell phone?
Not to mention, you might have provided the actual answer for it there. Kennedy knew something, and he went around talking about it. Even if it was all hush-hush, don't tell anybody, that may have been enough for them to go, okay, this stops here.
Yeah,
from this point forward, we keep this information under lock and key at a lower level all the way down to... It reaches a point where if that continued to be the case, it may be the one, you know, the people directly involved know, and that's it. And not to get too heavy conspiracy on you, but what's to say, okay, you're involved in this and we have five people who bring in this crash. Okay, well, I'm the highest ranking among us. The rest of you have to go.
I mean, yeah.
And that way the secret resides with a single person.
Also, then they shot Kennedy.
Easy conspiracy theory.
I'm just saying. there was President Eisenhower, you know, allegedly met with aliens in 1954 and in New Mexico to basically sign a treaty saying, okay, you can take civilians for experiments, but here's the rules. Now, that is, of course, just legend. Do I think that's true? Probably not. I mean, that seems a little far-fetched. But also, I don't know. I would normally say that's crazy, but we live in a crazy time period.
Well, then, 10 years later, you had the Berkshire event.
You also had the Dolce base. Yeah. But I was going to say, at one point in time, you would have said, you know, the government's never going to admit to any of this. That's crazy. And yet...
Here we are.
Yeah,
but
how
again,
much farther in the future will it be when they go, yeah, actually Eisenhower did that, but it's just like,
well,
yeah.
Okay, so, and let's
who
think
cares?
About this.
Don't worry about it.
This is my positive spin on how quickly this gets buried and how much they'll admit in the future. We went from them saying this is absolutely not true, none of this has happened, we have no alien spacecrafts, to, okay, yeah, we'll admit there has been some... unknown flying objects that we've seen that our pilots have reported and we can't explain them to less than, 2 years later? Okay, yeah, we've recovered materials that are not of this earth from vehicles that are not of this earth. So I feel like we're progressing closer and closer to it. So I think sooner rather than later, it's just going to be like, okay, yes, it's all real.
Well, yeah, that's the general thing. On a long enough timeline, all the secrets come out. It's just, what is it going to take for that to happen?
Here's my problem with it, though, is that the secret. I truly believe the secrets will come out, but I truly also believe that we live in a society now, whether we've been conditioned or if it's just in our human nature, that we won't care. This is an American people that has been told how many terrible things about our current president. Here's facts and evidence of the terrible things he's done, and they don't care. They let it pass. That if you told them if the government said aliens are real, aliens have visited, whereas 20, 30 years ago, that would have been this gigantic, you know, event. Now it's just, okay, and
we
don't care.
To be fair, this is something you and I have talked about, I don't think on the show, but I think it was after this first came up. What do you want them to do? I mean, what do you expect people to do about that? We hear much news now that is so crazy and out of our control, and things that we're so we're desensitized. You're right. As a people in general, we hear things and go, "Wow, that's it's that classic line. Wow, that's
wild.
That's crazy.
That's crazy." But and then what did President Trump do?
But I mean, really, that's the thing. Ideally, you want them to, at the very least, care because it is interesting and it's a big deal. But, dude, without saying too much, that's my entire job. I would love them to care. But sometimes you just kind of have to present the information and let nature take its course.
So saying, what do you want them to do? Like, my first instinct would be, we need people who are going to dig into this and find out the truth. Well, we have that. Now, whether you trust them or not is another question, but we have people like, you know, jokes aside, Tom DeLonge and the To the Stars Academy. We have people like Harry Reid. We have people like Luis Elizondo, people that are looking into it and are looking for the truth. I feel like people should, this is going to sound so stupid, people should protest. People should demand answers. But we're already protesting and demanding answers for so many things right now. And if you ask me what's more important, you know, murder in the streets by a corrupt government and a, you know, institution that is failing humanity, or if we should protest whether or not we're being visited by an alien species, as much as I want to believe and as much as I want to be a part of the generation that proves the existence of extraterrestrials, I know that my human side of me says that this is more important because this is directly affecting people in the streets, human beings, humankind. And maybe we're just not ready right now for this.
Well, it's tangible too. That's the other thing. Is you're right. I mean, obviously, we're all going to fall on the same side of that. You got to prioritize. But at the same time, it's tangible. Protesting something like that, or going to bat for, you know, give us the answers, give us what you have. It's so easy for them to go, this is all we have, and just hand over a little morsel here and there, or to just flat out go, we have nothing. It was a training exercise. Sorry.
And it seems empty. It seems empty to demand answers about where are the aliens hiding versus stop shooting people in the streets.
Right. Again, it's tangibility. We can see the latter. This is happening. We have the evidence. There it is.
Well, and look at
here
look
are
at what
all
happened.
The things we think are happening. We want you as a specific institution to look into it because that's what you're here to do. It's so easy for them to just go, okay, we'll do that. We'll get back to you.
Last year, and you talk about why no one takes it seriously. Last year, I think it was last year, they organized that epic raid Area 51 event.
Oh, don't get me started on that. They sure did.
Naruto run sure through did. Area 51. They can't shoot us all.
Fewer than 100 people showed up, and it was basically the worst Coachella ever.
It was a joke. It was a joke. And that's what I'm afraid that this is getting turned into. It will always be a joke, short of, and you know, God forbid, I don't want this to happen. Probably, but if aliens came to Earth Independence Day style and blew up a couple cities, then everyone would stand up and go, holy shit, what's going on? If only we had known and could have stopped it. And then I'll be standing there playing this episode saying,
that's a horrible invasion strategy. It was too slow. They revealed themselves too quickly. They would never do that. Well, they're not that stupid. They can't be.
If their technology is good enough, it doesn't matter.
Surely we're the dumbest ones.
We are, because if they have technology where they can just fly giant ships to Earth and blow up entire cities at once, I don't care how many Jeff Goldblums and Will Smiths there are in the world. You're probably not going to stop it. I don't think Randy Quaid flying a fucking airplane into the mothership is going to stop these guys.
Randy Quaid never solved anything.
Dennis Quaid was always superior. He knows it, and that's why he went crazy.
Oh God.
That's gonna do it for I Want to Believe tonight. I think we've exhausted the resources.
I feel bad, Tanner. I think we missed some things. Did you have something to talk about with the Skinwalker Ranch?
History just did a whole documentary series about it, but we can talk about that next time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll save it for the next I Want to Believe. And hopefully, I'm not holding my breath, but hopefully we'll have some more information. We'll have something new to talk about with this, because sometimes this stuff happens at just an accelerated rate and more comes out day by day. People are demanding answers. Hopefully that'll happen. Or we'll talk about it in 2 more years whenever something new comes out and it just trickles down And who knows? I don't know. I want to believe, and that's why it's so fascinating to me. But we'll see what happens. Yeah, for now, though.
They'll come out in 2 years and say, no, the Phoenix Lights were totally real.
I had heard that the Phoenix Lights were a distraction, that they were actually created by the United States government to throw off people from what they're really doing. And that's always been a thing I've heard, is that UFOs are actually created by the government to distract you. You know, they're snapping their finger with their right hand over here so you don't see what they're doing with their left hand. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because I started to think about it. If UFOs were real, if aliens were real, if every, let's even say half the UFO sightings that they can't explain were real, for how many years are extraterrestrials with superior technology going to just fly by Earth like it was a goddamn truck stop on an intergalactic highway? In every video you see, the UFO is up in the air, it's flying around, it's doing weird moves, and then it just kind of flies away.
But this, Shannon, has been going on for years. They're made out of meat. They're made out of meat. Who's to say that they have no vested interest in dealing with us, because it would be like us finding, you know, some tiny little microscopic organism somewhere and going, well, that can't do anything. What are we going to do with that? Move along.
Yeah, but why would they fly into our atmosphere?
Well, maybe they had to get close enough to figure it out. I don't know. I can't answer that. But you're contradicting yourself, though, because we just spent half an hour at least talking about how disinterested the general populace is with this, and now suddenly they're using it as a distraction. They're not doing a very good job then, because we're no longer interested in it.
I mean, let me think about that for a little bit. Because
it can't be both. It's got to be one or the other. Either it is so interesting. It's got to be your bull. It's got to be your UFO. Either it is so interesting that it's keeping us distracted from something else, or it's not interesting enough and people should care more.
Well, I got two theories on it, and the two theories on what's happening now is either the government is faking all of this because they are distracting us from something, and then they just kind of stopped. Because you remember the Phoenix Lights happened in, what, the 90s?
Yeah.
All of these big UFO sightings have happened previously, before the madness that is today. Because now I feel like we said earlier, you could just get away with it. It's like ghost photography. It's like videos of the paranormal. Because the technology has gotten so much better, it's so much harder to figure out what's real and what isn't. You've got so many ghost videos come out. I have probably 30 ghost channels I subscribe to on YouTube. And even though I'm one of those people that I can watch a ghost video and say, okay, that's clearly so good that it's fake. But then it's like, okay, but what if it's not? What if this is legitimately real and you don't believe it because you are conditioned to think that it's fake because the technology's out there?
But what if people stop caring? Again, what if it is real? What would you do about it? What can you do about that?
With ghosts, it's different, because I think if they can prove an afterlife, that would change everything. If you can prove an afterlife, especially if it's a non-religious one.
I was going to say, I still think it would be a case of, yeah, but we don't. It's not consistent. It doesn't work the same way every time, because not every person is seen again. It would still be. I mean, granted, yes, that would be a huge discovery, but simultaneously, I think it would still be so cryptic, for lack of a better term, so uneasy to study that it would just be.
But it would be hopeful.
I got to put this out there, because we've talked about this before. When it comes to extraterrestrial life, and you said, you know, maybe they are just making it all up. Maybe they're making all the visits up, but there is no part of me that can rationally believe that there is not some other life elsewhere in the universe. Absolutely. It's too big. It's too vast. That's not just me wanting to believe. It's irrational to think otherwise. Now, whether or not we've been visited, that's a totally different story. But
hear me out on this. This is my other theory. My other theory is, what if we were visited, but we've stopped being visited since then? You know, what if the Roswell crash was real? What if the Cape Girardeau crash was real? Because those are the first instances of crash and recoveries that were recorded in history. So what if they did recover those? They did reverse engineer them. And these vehicles that we're seeing now aren't of this Earth, but they're also based on technology that we've been developing based on this technology that they brought in the 40s. To me, that is plausible, that they could have crashed this UFO,
we did recover it. Maybe this was a freak accident. They recovered it. They took this technology, and they've been working on this technology for years. You look at the stealth bomber. You look at all of these other, you know, the leap in technology that we experienced going from the 40s and the 50s to today. What a giant leap in technology we had in those years, and so, all of these amazing things we discovered.
So then is your suggestion behind that then that, because it wouldn't necessarily have to be the same group, but that whatever happened then, that particular species or group or whatever was, they said, okay, no more. Because they have this, they are too close to knowing that we're here and we're not ready to do that. And even if it wasn't the same group, it was enough that they passed it between them saying, hey, lay off that place for a while because they're getting too close to the truth.
Well, then you're getting into a whole nother realm of,
oh yeah, if I mean, there I know aliens. That's super conspiratorial, yeah. but yeah. Still,
like how many different, there's the grays, there's the greens, there's the lizard people. And
but I'm then the question becomes, because I mean, you said, so maybe they stopped coming, but why? Because they crashed, because we got too close, because of the possibilities. What's the
maybe it's like a car wreck on the side of a road in a part of the world where there's not a lot of population. You know, if the Earth is just a speck on a grand scale and this one UFO crashed here on Earth, maybe it's like someone wrecked the car and no one knows that they wrecked. You know, like that car is just sitting in a ditch somewhere in some backwoods, you know, forest somewhere over in England or whatever. And no one's seen this. So maybe they didn't come here to begin with. And this was just a freak occurrence. And then we took that technology and we turned that into what we have today. Now, I'm not saying I think that's what happened. But when it comes to something you can't prove like this, you can throw all the crazy theories out there you want. And I'm happy to do so. Mostly, I just, you know,
I just want to believe.
I want to believe, and I kind of want that Independence Day scenario. Not in the sense that I want, I don't want Americans or other countries, I don't want anyone to die. But I truly believe that if the world could unite against a single enemy, it would do a lot for the Earth. If we could just join forces and not hate each other for a little bit and focus on one particular enemy who isn't from this Earth, then maybe, I don't know, we could all become friends.
Yeah, you got a trial run of that almost 20 years ago, and it lasted about 6 months.
Yeah, but I knew some people that we teamed up against, and it wasn't so much fun. You know, yeah. I think we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, all right, let's get out of here. We got to cut this off tonight. This is I think this is the longest I want to believe we've ever done. We may have done a longer one. It's not it's not a usual thing.
It's the longest one you've done.
What was the longest one?
Almost 2 hours with me.
Oh, the interview you did?
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Oh.
What?
No, it was an interview. It was because it was an interview. This is just us talking, you know.
That anyway, was a special.
We're going to get out of here. That was a special. This is a standard. This is the old faithful, Tanner.
Oh, is it?
It's a drop in the bucket. All right.
Tanner, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you.
So the scientist clones his own ass.
Okay.
No.
Everybody keep watching the skis.
No. That's my line. We're going to be back on Monday with Nerd Up. We're going to do it all again next week. Monday's Nerd Up. Tuesday, the final episode of A Bloody Night on Highway B.
Maybe.
Easy 85 plays. Maybe. Wednesday, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Hunter's coming back. Thursday, yes. Podzilla After Dark. Tanner's coming back. Mm. Maybe. And then Friday, we're all coming back to do a real show this time.
And it'll actually happen, and it's actually going to record.
Although, to be fair, there were some sick beats we had on last night.
It's true. Right. They were.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in. We love you so much. We'll be back next week, and we'll have another I Want to Believe soon. Depending on what happens, maybe real soon. We'll see. We'll keep our triple ears to the ground. Until then, Tanner, keep watching the skis.
Guys.